everyone. I hope everyone's doing okay. The reading's from Mark chapter 10, and it's verse 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Well, good morning. Morning. As Scott said, for those that don't know me, my name's Jonathan. I'm one of the ministers here at Rady Baptist Church, and I'd like to extend my own personal welcome to you this morning. It's lovely to see you as we just celebrate with Richard and Claire and Sophie and Grace as well. I have to say, when I came in this morning for our early service, I was a bit taken aback. I thought we'd made a major scheduling error because I saw Richard and Claire already up here on the instruments. I just want to say that if you're a parent and you want your children dedicated, we don't make you work for it. I was quite surprised when I saw them playing this morning, but it's wonderful for them to be able to do that. So it's great. But please do speak to us, as I say, if you're interested in having your children dedicated. But of course, it's great to celebrate alongside Richard and Claire and Sophie and Grace this morning as they came to be dedicated, as we came to give thanks to God for the blessing of children, the blessing that they are as a family together. You know, Jesus had much to say about families and family life. And this passage that Lewis just read to us actually follows on from teaching by Jesus about a number of different things regarding family dynamics. It follows on from teaching about divorce, about marriage, and about singleness as well. But the important thing here, as Jesus kind of wraps up the whole of his teaching about family life, is that whether you're young or whether you're old, everyone is important to God. Everyone is important to God. God loves everyone. The simple fact that this story also appears in the other gospel accounts, two other gospel accounts, both in Matt and Luke's gospels, denotes, I think, something of the importance that the gospel writers attach to this particular teaching. But it also emphasizes the desire to show a simple truth about the Christian faith that we would all do well, I think, to take to heart. You see, this morning, whether or not you're an adult, whether or not you're a child, whether you're a parent or not, the reality is that we're all children. We're all children to someone, whether our earthly parents are around or not. But of course, we're all children to our Heavenly Father as well, whether we choose to believe that or not as well. And so as we read about this passage this morning, this incident, if you like, begins with parents coming to bring their children to Jesus in order for him to place his hands upon them, to pray for them, and to bless them. You know, it was a very common practice back in Jesus' day to bring children to the elders, to the rabbis, if you like, the teachers, so that they could have hands placed upon them and be prayed for. This is a tradition that goes back way into ancient history. In fact, we first read about it in the book of Genesis, Genesis 48, where Jacob actually blesses his grandchildren by placing his hands on both of their heads as well. And as we've seen this morning, this is a tradition that also now extends into the modern church. As parents bring their children into the church family, where we support and we pray for them, that we encourage them to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. You know, there's a wonderful sense of family about this, and that was the whole point about the teaching. And so it's surprising then that as we read this story, that whilst the parents brought their children to be blessed by Jesus. It was the disciples themselves who turned away or tried to turn away the parents. It's not clear why they did this. It doesn't say in Scripture why they particularly did this. Perhaps the disciples were frustrated that Jesus was being delayed on his journey, ultimately to Jerusalem and the cross. Maybe they were trying to protect Jesus from the rigors of ministry, from being burnt out, from exhausting himself. Maybe they thought that children were simply to be seen and not heard. Whatever the reasoning was, in Mark's account, we're told that Jesus was indignant towards the disciples for their behavior. His anger burned towards the disciples, and he rebuked them, didn't he? Saying, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And so as we think about these words of Jesus, I believe that he reveals two really important, two crucial aspects of the kingdom of God for us to think about this morning. The first of which is that the kingdom of God is for everyone. It's a simple truth. The kingdom of God is for everyone. Although Jesus was actually speaking about the children, he's also holding them up as an example that the kingdom of God belongs not only to children, but to everyone. God embraces the whole of his creation. He's a creator and provider for all things. Not just for those who've got it together, not those who are popular, not those who are necessarily educated. He's for everyone, the vulnerable, the weak, the dispossessed, if you like, the voiceless. God loves everyone, and there's a place in his kingdom for everyone. Jesus had earlier said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, much like today, the Roman Empire at that time, which encompasses the whole of Palestine, had a culture that promoted success and wealth and status. It was the wise, the powerful, and the learned, and the popular that the people were attracted to. They listened to, they aspired to be. Their position or status showed that they were successful and that they were powerful. And more than that, they had found their role in society. They belonged very much to the ethos of the Roman Empire. More generally, to be a Roman citizen, to be born into the Roman Empire, was something of great value because it had and it conferred certain rights on those individuals as well. You know, if we think in the Bible, there's an account of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was arrested for preaching in Jerusalem, and so the soldiers took him off to be flogged. But just before he did that, Paul reminds them that he's a Roman citizen. And then suddenly we see the whole situation change. The commander panics because, of course, to flog a Roman citizen without a trial is very serious. And so he panics and he releases Paul. The reality was that if you weren't part of this group, if you weren't part of the Roman Empire, you were on the outside. You were fending for yourself. You were afforded very little by way of status or rights. You were basically invisible to people. People wanted to belong. They would pay lots and lots of money to belong to that empire. They would work for many, many years just for the opportunity to belong, to be part of something like the Roman Empire. And you know what? As I was thinking about it for this morning, it strikes me that belonging is such an important part of our culture today. Perhaps it's because the way in which family constructs have changed over the last few decades, you know, with divorce rates going up, with the fragmentation of families. Perhaps it is because of the social pressures that have increased, that have meant people have become increasingly isolated and alone. belonging is incredibly important. And so it is that I think that we've seen this emergence of this cult of celebrity and status arise. We have an almost insatiable appetite, don't we, as a society, to associate with anything that seems to be popular, successful, or has public recognition. If I said the words fortnight to you, I wonder if you would have a smile on your face. For a number of you, I can tell that you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you had younger children, you would know that Fortnite is the game to be playing at the moment. And our son wanted to play it for such a long time. It has a rating, a guidance of 12 years old. And he was desperate to play it because his friends were already playing it. For him, he wanted to belong to that club. He wanted to be able to talk about Fortnite. He wanted to be part of this group. It was really important to him. But of course, it's not just about children as well, is it? You may be aware, I said this in the earlier service, that we've just had a World Cup, or we've got a World Cup, the World Cup finals this evening. So you would know that we've had a number of games over the last month or so. And the thing that really struck me was, right at the beginning of this World Cup, I couldn't find any England flags being shown. I mean, very, very few. Normally we go mad for football as a nation, don't we? But right at the beginning of this World Cup, probably because expectations were so low, there really just weren't flags around. And yet last week, as we progressed through the competition, I say we, I mean, there we go. I'm belonging to the England team. But as England progressed through the competition, suddenly people wanted to be part of this. They wanted to celebrate this. They wanted to watch this. And now you can't move anywhere without tripping over a flag. Belonging is really important. And the thing is that when Jesus was talking in this particular instant, children at that time were very much second-class citizens. And what Jesus was doing was, by welcoming the children, he was actively encouraging the parents to come along. He was making an explosive statement about how the kingdom of God is for everyone. Those who have it, those that don't have it. Those that think highly of themselves, those that don't. The kingdom of God is for everyone. And these are challenging words. They're challenging words, not because the kingdom of God is for everyone, but Jesus rebukes the disciples for turning people away from the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure none of us would actively do that. We wouldn't act in the way that the disciples did. But these are challenging words because sometimes by our actions, by our words, and by our deeds, we can put people off from coming to Jesus, from actually exploring what the Christian faith is all about. And we do that by the way in which we live our lives, by the way in which we conduct ourselves when we're not in here on a Sunday morning. You know, how do we speak about things? How do we speak about people? What are our morals and our ethics that guide us through our working lives and through the way in which we interact with others who don't go to church? Do we ever even share our faith? The hope that we have in Jesus. You know, it's very easy to put people off. If these things are important to us, surely we should be sharing them because they're good news. Perhaps you've never given it much thought this morning, but the amazing truth of Jesus' words here is that there is a place for everyone in God's family, not on the basis of moral or religious performance. Not on status, not on popularity. It's not even connected with our age, but it's through grace alone. It's totally unearned. It's totally unmerited, but freely given, having been won by Jesus on the cross. This morning, if you're looking and thinking about where you fit in, or trying to fit into culture and society, to the workplace, to our schools, remember that there is already a place for you in the kingdom of God. Yes, we're all very different, but we are nonetheless equally invited and welcomed because no one this morning is too far away from God to receive his grace and his love and his forgiveness. Yet it's our choice. It's our choice alone as to whether or not we will engage and to accept the invitation to be part of this family, to receive the blessing that Jesus wants to give us. That hope, that fullness of life that begins today and stretches into eternity. So the important thing about this particular passage of Scripture is that it says that each one of us has a place in God's kingdom. But the second thing I believe that Jesus wants to make note of is that we can only enter into this kingdom. We can only enter into God's kingdom with childlike faith. It said in Mark 10, verse 15, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." You know, Jesus isn't talking here about being childish or having childish actions, but rather he's commending the simplicity of faith and the humble trust, which actually stood in such a sharp contrast to the religious leaders of that time. You know, for us today as well, in what is often seen as such a cynical world, it's so difficult to retain a childlike faith in anything. That childlike innocence is rapidly robbed from us as we grow up. Indeed, as adults, I would suggest to you that we have a tendency to overcomplicate and overanalyze things. We like to put up obstacles and hurdles in front of things. We want to make sure that every base is covered, every loose thread is tied up before we'll even begin to consider doing something or trusting something. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of careful planning. But in my experience, if we always dwell on the whys, the wherefores, and the what-ifs, it leads to a complete paralysis and an inability to actually do anything or trust in anything or anyone. And of course, this is the root of self-reliance. Since we won't trust in anyone else other than ourselves to provide for everything that we need, we trust in our own judgment as to what's right and what's wrong. And the reality is that we increasingly distance ourselves. We distance ourselves from God, from God's kingdom, and of course, from God's presence. You know, if you ever had children, you'll know that when they're small, they're totally dependent on their parents for survival. Everything that they need comes from their parents. They're unable to provide for themselves. Children's very nature is a trusting nature. And they seem to live their early lives, certainly, without any forms of stresses or worries. You know, they don't know where their food comes from, but they just simply trust that it will be there when they're hungry. They're unaware of money or what it takes to earn a living. They just expect that their needs will be met as well. You know, maybe it's just me, but haven't you ever wished that sometimes, with the stresses and strains of life, you could just go back to being a child just for a little while? I don't mean reliving the school years, although I've had to do that over the last 3 years, or indeed falling out with friends, which seem to happen at regular intervals. But to escape from those cares and concerns that we have, if only for a while. You know, but of course, we can't really do that. We can't do that. But trusting in something or someone other than ourselves is the biggest test of faith that we can ever have. Scripture makes it clear that Jesus came to make a way for us to be reconciled to God through his death and resurrection, to enter into his kingdom, and to inherit life eternal by accepting his offer of salvation. But that requires us to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. That requires us to have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, to turn around from living apart from him and inviting him as being part of our lives, to be Lord of our lives. It was the Apostle Peter who said that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved in Acts 4. And therefore, we're totally dependent on the Lord to provide for us. You know, we're unable to secure our own salvation. And if we're honest, we struggle to comprehend the enormity of that gift that's been given to us. It's so, so profound. The reality is, therefore, just as Jesus said, we need to believe in him for salvation with a childlike trust, to rest in his gracious provision. What do you trust in today, I wonder? Where do you put your faith and your confidence? It said that after Jesus spoke these words, he took up the children in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. You know, Jesus didn't simply acknowledge these children. He didn't just give them a hug, but he blessed them. He offered them his divine provision, and he genuinely met the needs of these youngsters. By faith, they came to him, and by faith, they received a blessing from him. And that's what Richard and Claire, with Sophie and Grace, have done this morning. They've come to God. They've trusted in God for his goodness and his mercy to them. And I guess that's really the question for all of us this morning. Where would you stand in this story? Where would you stand in this story? Would you align yourselves with the disciples, not wanting to bother Jesus? Perhaps thinking that what he wants to give us or bless us with really isn't that worthwhile? Do we like to trust only in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own powers of reason? That unless something can be proved to us with absolute certainty, then actually we're not even prepared to accept its possibility. Or maybe we're like the little children this morning. Will we come before Jesus with a childlike faith? Trust in what he has done, what he is doing, and believe in what he will do as well. Perhaps this morning you've come and you're at the end of yourself. You're worn out by trying to fit in, trying to work out where you belong, shouldering life's burdens on your own, running fast just to stand still. Perhaps it is that you know Jesus, that you set things down, but you're one of these people that pick it up immediately again, and you continue that cycle of worry. Like the children this morning, do you just want to feel that warm, tender embrace of the Lord, either for the first time or perhaps again because it's been so long? The good news is that you can. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You know, it's an invitation to each and every one of us today. And the truth is, the only way that we're going to receive it is to come to him like a little child and to put our faith and our trust solely and completely in him, because he is faithful. Amen. Amen. Let's just pause for a moment, and I'm just going to pray before Rich comes with the band to lead us again in worship. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of those words. We thank you that your kingdom is open to everyone and that you gladly receive anyone who would come and find you. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't require anything on our part other than to put our faith and our trust in you. And maybe for this morning, for this first time, there are some that might want to do that. Lord, we just pray that you would meet them, that you would accept them, that you would fill them afresh, that they would truly know that they're not alone, that they are loved by you, that they have a place in your family. And Lord, for us who maybe have known you as their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning that if we need your touch afresh, if we need to come before you and just set down those things that weigh us down, that keep us apart from you. Lord, I pray that we would do that, that we would be brave enough just to look to you with fresh eyes, with a fresh spirit in our hearts, that we know that you will provide for everything, for all of our needs, Lord. And so this morning, I just simply pray that you would come by your Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, and that we would know your blessing on us, both now and in these coming days and weeks. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Rich, would you like to come?